1320 WILS. My next guest was 24 when he was laid off. He was married at the time with two young kids, was in the middle of renovating his house, had no college degree, no family money, no employment backup plan. And then what he did in the next 10 years was become an entrepreneur and lead two companies to the multi-million dollar level. We're joined by Mark Arzma. He's the author of the new book, Investing with Purpose. Capitalize on the time and money you have to create the tomorrow you desire. Mark, great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be with you.
Yeah, 24. What were you doing at the time when you were laid off?
I was doing some software development for a small business.
Without a college degree, huh?
Uh-huh. That is true. Yeah, I was kind of I was the nerdy kid who stayed up late and wrote Pac-Man or something when I was in high school. So some of those skills turned out to be useful later on.
So what do you do when you first get laid off? How did you react initially to that?
You know, it's funny because looking back, I think I probably should have been more scared than I was, but maybe there was a little bit of ignorance is bliss. And I think I had started kind of pondering that I might want to work for myself. So I thought, all right, here's the chance. I'll just head down to the basement and set my computer on whatever's down there. And see if I can do some freelance work.
And was there success right away?
Slow and steady. I think I did a little software job for somebody the first day and made $59. So that probably didn't cover my bills for a day, but I was cash flow positive and profitable, and then just kind of built from there. And a real key inflection point that happened there is recognizing that if I just keep selling my time by the hour, 24 hours in a day is a hard stop on that gig. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of stumbled into the realization that some of my software clients have the same needs as each other, and I could create something pre-packaged that would meet that. And that got me into making software products. And that's where some success really started to come.
You realize that any kind of per hour job is not the way to go. Is that it?
I mean, it's a great, leverage early on, because we all get time, kind of the same amount as each other at the same pace. And it comes free. It's like pass, go, collect $200. Uh-huh. So if you're starting out and you don't have a lot of capital or you don't have a lot of assets, then absolutely take that hourly time and trade it for the best income you can get. And I think at the same time as doing that, I would advise people start thinking about how could you start using your time and the money you're making to build something of greater long-term value, something that you own.
Talking to Mark Arzma, the brand new book, Investing with Purpose, one of your chapters there is titled, Tell Yourself the Truth About Time. What is the truth about time?
Yeah, I think it's really important. There's a few points there. One of them is basically the simple point that life is short. So, if we have intentions that, hey, someday I want to, spend a lot more time with my family, or someday I want to have more financial security, or someday I really want to help, this group of people in Africa or something. Mm-hmm. We don't have as many somedays ahead of us as we would like to think. So part of what I say in the book is get active now on the things that you really want.
And how did you do that for yourself, get that sense of urgency?
Yeah, I think maybe I was born with it. I'm a pretty intense person. Mm-hmm. I'm very forward-driven. So I guess if someone kind of doesn't look at life that way, I would just say maybe it's worth it to reflect on the future. What do you want your 100th birthday to be like? What do you want people to say about you, about your life, and realize that the amount of years between now and then really aren't that many? And I guess what it is for me is that's a motivation to get brave, to be courageous.
The question too is how many years are you going to be able to be productive too? Because by 80, 90, most people aren't really doing very much of anything. Now, another chat. So let's get to it. So you're in your basement. You start putting together software. What triggered the initial real success that you had then?
One point that sticks out in my mind is it was kind of late at night. I think my wife was watching television upstairs, and I was down in the basement kind of wrestling with a software problem that a lot of my customers had. It had to do with search engine optimization and having their websites do well on Google using the software that they had purchased. And so I was like, man, if I could solve this without them having to buy all new software and recreate their websites, if I could just kind of come out with an upgrade for them, that would be worth a lot. And what I like to point out about that is I found a difficult problem, and I wrestled with it for a little while, and I was like, you know, it's got to work on different web servers, and there's technology issues, and it can't cause any sort of inconvenience for the user. How do we solve this? And I remember kind of distinctly, I think I got a plan worked out, and I came upstairs, and I was like very excited to tell my wife, you know, hey, I think this is going to be big. And she was asleep, I believe, but I was excited anyway, and it was like, hey, if we have a solution for a difficult problem, there's value there. So one of the things I say in the book is look for difficult things to do. You know, there's a lot of problems to be solved in the world. And rather than kind of saying, well, what's an easy path to success? I say, hey, what's something that people are having a hard time with that nobody's been able to solve?
And that's it.
That really worked.
Well, and hopefully you can find the solution. Talking about Mark Arzma, the book, Investing with Purpose. It's arzma.com. Is that the website?
That'll work. Yeah, that's a little tough to spell. So another website people could go to is allwhoaspire.com. And that's got some info on how people can actually give a book from me to someone that they think has great potential as well.
Allwhoaspire.com. You write too about building yourself and your network. So when you're a computer guy in your basement, how do you go about doing that?
You know, that was something I was behind the curve on, that I was really kind of a loner there, you know, operating just by myself. But thankfully that I didn't let it stay that way for too long as I started to have some success.
Yeah, how did you go about connecting with people? Is this online you were doing it, or in person, or what was your strategy?
You know, there was an author that I admired, and I went to one of his conferences, and I thought it was really good. I ended up actually getting into like a mentoring program that he has. And so once a month I traveled and participated in this program with other business leaders. And it was the best thing I could have done. You know, I needed people who were further down the road to build my confidence, to help me with tough decisions. And so they were helping me grow up, which I definitely needed to do it, to face kind of the pressures of growing businesses.
Had you not had a mentor before that, or?
You know, I think I was lacking in that. I spent a lot of time, you know, developing computer skills and not a lot of time developing a network of relationships. So that's something I had to kind of catch up on, and thankfully I did.
Did you want to put his name out there or no?
His name is Dr. John Townsend. He's got a number of books and a great guy.
And you worked and you went and met with him directly, or something?
He had a small group. I traveled to California from Illinois once a month to participate in that. And then
what did you get out of that? Do you think you could have succeeded without that mentorship? Or?
No, I would have gotten to a certain level and then started to be held back by my own personal feelings. You know, for example, the skills to really be confrontive, to deal with personnel issues, to fire people who need to go, things like that. You know, he really helped me a lot to grow in those areas of just being more decisive, more aggressive if necessary. And things like that were really helpful.
Talking to Mark Arzma, the book, Investing with Purpose, you have a chapter that is titled Manage the Emotions that Trip Investors. What kind of emotions were you dealing with?
Yeah, I love that. It's something that I've learned a lot about and I think is really key. Even in the world of financial investing, you know, for example, a month ago, there was a lot of emotion going around about oil prices that were tanking and stocks had headed down quite a bit. And people get, I don't know, we're just human and we get fearful about maybe oil's going to $10 a barrel and the world's coming to an end. And we make bad decisions sometimes with that kind of thing going on. Or maybe, you know, it's easy to get emotional about the current political situation, which I think is, you know, this election is a lot more concerning to people than several others have been.
So how do you manage your emotions then yourself?
So my advice in the book is, you know, kind of basic smarts about this. Don't do anything when you're upset. Hit the pause button. Seek some outside advice. You know, talk it through with someone before you sell an investment. and just have stick to your rules, you know, the rules that guide what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So and also, in terms of how much investing are you doing now yourself then?
As far as the kind of financial investing in stocks and bonds and startups, that's increasingly a larger part of what I do, just naturally as the businesses have produced returns and given me capital. I really enjoy it, and I found out that I'm having good success with that. So, you know, I analyze stocks and small companies and startups pretty much every day as part of my job.
Have you worked for anyone else since you were 24?
No, I have never applied for another job. I have kind of a, people ask me what I do. It's a little bit hard to explain. You know, I spend my days in a small headquarters. I do conference calls with the managers of my companies. I do investment research. I do consulting with others. It's a pretty good gig.
Yeah. So you work from home then, or?
No. I have four kids now. so it's a pretty busy place here, but I have a small office suite where I get to do all that stuff.
The last chapter in the book, Big, or Bet Big on Your Big Advantages. Well, when you're talking about betting big, how big are we talking?
Yeah, the idea of that chapter is when you've got a good thing going, you know, double down on it. Life doesn't present too many chances when you're like, hey, I'm onto something here. So for me, that meant as my businesses started to grow, I didn't take money out and put it in retirement, very little, just a modest portion of that. Mm-hmm. But I hit the gas. You know, I doubled down on that. I actually had a financial advisor that tell me, you've got like 95% of your wealth in these companies. And I'm like, yes, I think that's a good call. I'm going to keep doing that. And he didn't agree with me on it. But it's just when you have an advantage, if you have a great skill or a great business opportunity or an investment that you have a front seat advantage to for some reason, bet on it. You know, throw some chips in there and have some courage, because that's where the big returns come from.
Yeah, and what's ahead for you? I mean, do you need to work financially? Is that a necessity for you?
I could probably not work, but that's not my style. I've got kids that are going to be going to college soon, and actually I want to use my potential the best that I can. So I want to continue to hit the gas. For me, the book has been a big thing, and it's a time of transition now. Mm-hmm. I'll probably spend a little more time with my business managers and just make sure everything is ship-shaped there. And increasingly, I'm working with other people. I have a group of my own, similar to the one I told you about where I was going with Dr. Townsend. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of groups of my own now that I do the same kind of CEO leadership development here in Illinois.
Yeah,
people fly in. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff now.
For someone who feels that they're trapped in a job, they've got a family, they've got responsibilities, and they feel it would be just too much of a risk to just jump out there and attempt to do what you accomplished, what would you say to them?
You know, I actually say don't jump off a cliff. That is rarely the move that needs to happen. I think that sometimes people feel like, well, either I just have to continue the daily grind or I need to make a flying leap and do something different. There's a time for a big change, but what I say is get clear on where you want to go, what your big goals are, and then take one step, you know, call one potential client or start developing a prototype. Mm-hmm. And I think actually that it's very scary to start taking those steps, and sometimes the flying leap is a way to try to cold turkey bust through the fear. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's what most people need to do. Start building a plausible plan. And then when you start to see some traction, then that might be the time to quit the day job.
Mark Arzma, the book, Investing with Purpose. Capitalize on the time and money you have to create the tomorrow you desire. Find them online at allwhoaspire.com. AllWhoAspire.com. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you. Great questions. I appreciate it.